we went back to school.
Tell me a bit about the school when you first started. What was the number of your school?
It was number 40. That was a very,
very early.
Low number. It was a very early school because Berwick was an old district, and when we were in the other districts, up in Barnawatha or up in Goonong, the numbers in those schools were well over 1,000.
How were they?
Mm. So Berwick was very low.
Mm.
And there were three teachers, my father and his first assistant and a junior teacher when we came in 1917. And there were about 80 children at school, at the school. When he left in 1939, there were 150 and six teachers.
Yes.
Because the district had grown, and there'd been a settlement out, they called it the settlement, which is now Helens Valley. And there was no school there in those days, and the children came from there to the state school here.
Was that a First World War settlement?
Yes.
For the soldiers?
Yes, the First World War. Yes.
And that settlement, they never prospered on that very much,
no,
because the holdings were too small,
yes,
wasn't it?
And, yes.
That's why they called it the settlement,
yes,
out there.
And there are 5 acres, and 5 acres wasn't enough, because it was not very rich ground, and they couldn't make a living on 5 acres.
I don't know what they were supposed to try to do with 5 acres.
Well, they were supposed to try and grow vegetables, and which couldn't do anything really with 5 acres. And then they made it 10 acres, and they sold every alternate house. They built a four-roomed cottage on each of the 5 acres, and they removed the and sold the.
What did they call themselves in those days? The Soldier Settlement Commission, something like that?
I suppose so. And they sold the cottages for $100. And people around bought some of them and carted them onto a piece of land. They're quite good.
That settlement never prospered?
No, it was too small. Even the ten was too small. For the type of land there, it wasn't very rich soil, and it was very hard to make a living on 10 acres. Some of them tried to graze a couple of cows and have a couple of potty calves and sell them.
Mm.
And they couldn't make enough money on, it wasn't enough land to make them. And also they weren't trained men. They were men that had been in banks or clerical work of some sort, or they weren't farmers.
Mm.
It was really very, very hard to make a living.
Mm. What did they originally purchase those holdings for? Did you ever hear?
I don't know. Not much. I think they were given, weren't they, for the...
Well, I think they were probably purchased at some very low rate,
yes, well, and
paid back over a long time.
I wouldn't know.
Tell me about what you did. What sort of observance took place at school every day? Was there any... You raised the flag every day?
Yeah, every Monday morning.
You raised the flag?
Yes.
And then that stayed up for the whole week, did it?
No, it mustn't stay up after sundown.
How?
It was brought down that day before the children left school. Two of the biggest boys used to put it up and bring it down and fold it up. And it was the Union Jack.
And wanted all the children assemble when the flag was raised?
We would say, I love God and my country, I will honour the flag, I will serve the King and cheerfully obey my parents, teachers and the law. And the boys would salute. And then we'd all march into school. Of course, I couldn't march in. I got in last.
What you got in. And what other sort of, did you have religious instruction at school?
Yes, every Monday morning one of the clergymen came from the various denominations and gave a little talk, and the young men came that were training from the Church of Christ that were very interesting. They were very good.
Where was the headquarters of the Church of Christ in those days?
On the highway there, that little church that's up from in the hall there.
The hall?
Yes, that little church there.
And the Anglican...
And the Presbyterian came, and later the Catholic priest came from Dandenong.
There was no resident Catholic priest?
No. In those days, no Catholic priest
church?
Came to them. And there were only about four families that belonged to the Catholic Church at the school, and the children left the classroom and went over and worked in the... garden, in the school garden. One Monday morning they all went and pulled all the little anemone plants my father had spent all Saturday planting out. They just pulled them out and threw them on the thing. They thought they were weeds.
There was no Catholic church in those days?
Yes, but the clergyman came out from Dandenong only on Sunday, and there was no clergyman to come. Well, I suppose it wasn't worthwhile to come to four children. They probably had their church on Sunday morning at their own church, probably.
There was a resident Anglican.
Yes, and a resident clergyman. Presbyterian.
And Presbyterian. And then a Methodist?
No. And then there was the Church of Christ man that came out on Sunday and brought some young men that were training to become Church of Christ ministers, and they were very nice with the children. They would make a very interesting talk, very interesting, and they used to draw things up on the blackboard and explain all kinds of things, and very interesting.
What, religious things?
Religious instruction, yes, about where Christ lived and things like that. But they would draw little sketches of whatever they were telling us about. Very nice, very nice little sketches. Interesting. They made it very interesting. And some of the other denominations read some very learned tales, which were quite above our heads, and would fiddle around with pencils or something.
Were noisy and wriggled.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we were very patriotic in those days. We always had Empire Day on the 24th of May.
And what did you do there on that day?
Well, we talked about the British Empire and sang patriotic songs like Rule Britannia and There'll Always Be in England. And the highlight of the thing was a great big tin of boiled sweets was bought, and about 20 sweets was given to each child in a little poke made of paper, kitchen paper. And then after that, there was some of the, about a quarter of the tin left. My father would throw it out, and they had a scramble. It was very...
They weren't wrapped, the sweets.
No, he just threw them in the air, and children caught them. Usually the big boys caught them. A lot of them fell on the ground and were trampled in.
What time of the day was that? In the early morning?
No, that was after lunch, early after lunch, and then we were sent home early. We sent home about 3 o'clock instead of about 4 o'clock.
What other sort of observances were at school? That was Anzac Day, Empire Day, Armistice Day, I suppose.
That was those 3 days we had.
Yes.
Very patriotic we all were, because the First World War was still on when we came.
Yes.
We sang patriotic songs, and somebody came and talked to us, usually somebody from the district that had been a soldier. And when we first came to Berwick, there was a very little old man lived on in the main street, and he had been a soldier in the Crimean War in 1856.
Oh my goodness.
Little old Englishman. He boarded with his mate's widow in the main street, and he was about 100, I think, then. He was too old, we weren't here long enough before he died, and I think he was too old, but he might have been very interesting to talk to.
Yes, indeed.
Anyone had been talking to him.
Yes, indeed. did you have visitors who used to come and speak to the children at school about any particular interest?
Yes, we did. We had a talk by Mr. Triade, the hotel owner of the Berwick Inn, and he was a Spaniard, and he told us about his life as a young boy in Spain. And then another time, an Aboriginal came and told us about his lives of the Aborigines in Australia in the early days. His name was David Unakon, and he was very interesting and told us how the Aboriginals looked after the land, were careful, looked after it, and the animals looked after the land. And he could laugh like a kookaburra and call a beautiful bird call of the butcher bird, and he could make grunting noises like the koala and the wombat, and that funny hissing sort of funny call that the possum gives. He could, you swear that there are possums and birds. He was very clever with that.
Were these people asked by your father to come and speak at the school, or did they offer their services?
No, I think they came through. David Unipon did come to the school. He came to the hall and talked. I think he must have been asked by the council. But Mr. Triade came because my father asked him to talk about Spain to the children. And the others came was, another one came was a man that had lived in India and had a pet bear. And he'd been in India with the English army, a little man. And he talked to the children about the pet bear he had in India in the First World War years.
In those years, you would have probably been involved in fundraising for the war effort.
Yes, we did. We had a couple of fates up in the Quitigram for the war effort through the education department. The education department would ask children to work for the war effort and earn money, and then for the schools to put on an annual fete or bazaar or something to get money. And that was interesting. They used to have greasy pigs. Poor little pig was greased all over. And
just a piglet, just a little one.
Yes, and used to run screaming round the place and all the young men of the district after it.
And what, whoever caught it would have it?
Yes,
it was theirs.
My father caught it first because it ran straight into his arms in his best suit. Oh. It was covered in grease. Oh. But to my horror, he gave it back because it hadn't had a decent run. I thought I'd have a pet pig. I didn't. And then they used to have a thing called tug of war, and the young people, young men in the football club or something, would pull the older men of Berwick round, and the football club young fellas always won. They pulled and tugged, about 20 on each end, pulling and struggling and pulling like this.
Well, there were, I presume, prizes for all these things.
Yes, there
must have been.
And of course, they were put on, and all the people looking on would call out and yell and go on.
Were there concerts for fundraising
down
in the town?
Yes, concerts. A concert party would come from Melbourne sometimes. And one every year came out from the Blind Institute. And that money went to them, for the Blind Institute, with concerts. And then the local...
A musical concert.
Yes, and perhaps some recitations or a little play perhaps put on.
Singing.
Singing, and a little play would be... A little playette would be worked out for about 20 minutes with three or four actors and actresses and this some live little thing. And then... the money would go to perhaps to help one of the churches or to help the cricket club or football club, one of the local clubs would get the money. and the tickets would be a shilling for the back row and 1/6 for the front row.
And of course there were dances too, yes, for the young people.
Yes, there was a dance in the Depression years every Friday night. The very good orchestra was there, and the boys would give a shilling and the girls would bring a plate of nice cakes or something, or sausage rolls or something.
What was Berwick like in the Depression years?
It didn't seem to affect Berwick itself very much, because most people had enough land in the back to have a cow and grow a few vegetables, but a lot of men came through Berwick from the suburbs, walking through to get work down further. And they used to call it the schoolhouse, and they'd chop wood. They'd hand you a little billy, and you'd make a cup of tea and give them some sandwiches, and they'd keep on chopping wood and fill the wood box and stack wood round it. And my father said, they give you a good lot of wood, give them a shilling too, because they were very poor. And he said they would like the shilling, because with 9 you could get a pot of beer in those days, and they could get an odd drink of beer.
Where did they sleep?
They slept down in the showground. They were allowed to be there for a certain number of days.
The showground down beyond, over the railway line?
Yes, and
were there sheds there?
There were sheds there, and they were allowed to sleep there. And if you drove past there, you'd always see the copper boiling, I suppose, outside. And they got water there and made cups of tea, and perhaps washed their clothes. And
how long were they allowed to stay there?
I don't know, but I think it was a few days, or might have been up to a fortnight. And then they would walk on, perhaps, to Pakenham, and there they would be allowed to stay again a night or two, or whatever they liked. But they had to register with the local police.
Whenever they came into a town?
Yes. Mm.
So the local police knew how many were here?
Yes, and if they overstayed, they couldn't stay forever, like 6 months or anything. The local police would then ask them to move on.
They were walking down through Gippsland, just looking for work?
Looking for work, because they'd come from the city where there was no work, and they had no backyards, no land, a lot of them, to grow any vegetables. They were very, very in need of help and money. And
was there any government assistance in those years?
There was government assistance if they worked on the roads or that. But most of these men passing through were hoping to get work on farms further down, or work on perhaps digging potatoes at Cooby Rup or something. Very hard, very, very, very hard.
Did you ever give a bed to anybody? Did anybody ever request shelter from you or your family?
No, it would have been a bit scared.
The family from the...
One time, at Christmas time, two families from Melbourne, from an inner suburb of Preston, came through in a big dray. And
what, an open dray?
An open dray, and they were going down to Warrigal. And they had two horses, a big horse and a smaller horse, and the smaller horse had become lame. And they asked, could they spend the night in the school ground while they got the pony rested? And it took about 3 nights, and they took it down to the blacksmith and got its shoes fixed up. And after 3 days, could go on, but it was very cold. And very, very cold, and snow around in the hills. Christmas Day, it was so cold, and my father let them into the engine room of the school, in the school, and light a fire, because they had a baby. They had two little children and a baby.
There were how many adults?
Two men and two women. There were two families. One family seemed to own the two little toddling children, and the other one had a new baby.
And there they'd set out in an open grave.
Yes, they were going to some relative on a farm.